Hello, this is Jazz Booth, and you're listening to Cut to the Chase podcast.
Stepping out beyond boundaries takes courage and the ability to dream. We are excited to share our new audio podcast called Cut to the Chase. The structure of this podcast embodies open dialogue with friends, family, and professional colleagues, talking about things that impact our ability to thrive. We hope that you will join our unscripted, unbridled podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Cut to the Chase, episode 89, entitled No Excuse. A lot of us are probably sitting back right now going, no excuse. What exactly is Gray going to talk about? Very interesting topic. Sometimes I look at myself in the mirror and say, hey, no excuse. You should be able to do this. And so as we jump into our topic today, one of the quotes that I've pulled together is, if someone seriously wants to be a part of your life, they will seriously make an effort to be in it. No reasons, no excuse. So in a lot of contexts that we're going to speak with our featured guest today is that she is just an outstanding, phenomenal human being, phenomenal woman. And I'll tell you, for all of the accolades that she has in her bio and for the things that she's triumphant over, I tell you, she lives by this mantra of no excuse. So as I go forward and introduce our special guest today, she is a former Army officer who flipped adversity on its tail. She's also a Chicago native, disabled Army veteran, a cancer survivor, a veteran and disability advocate, and a speaker who has given over 17 years of service to this great nation. She's also been featured on Oprah Winfrey Standing Ovation, she's also received the Oprah Winfrey Standing Ovation recipient. She's been on CNN Heroes, People Magazine Heroes, Amongst Us, YMCA for Women of Distinguished, and U.S. Army Chief of Outstanding Civil Servants Awardees. She's literally traveled all over the world speaking on leadership, diversity, entrepreneurship, intersectional, inclusions, and other motivative topics. Her Carnegie Hall size enthusiasm and serious comedic style delights her audience as she relates to the awe-inspiring experiences. She's formerly a homeless vet and is the president and founder of Final Salute Incorporated, provides homeless women veterans with safety and suitable housing. They also have raised over $4 million in supporting over 7,000 women and children and providing over 15,000 days of housing since 2011. She's also been featured in the documentary Serve Like a Girl, which follows several American women during their transition from the military. She holds a dual master's in HR management and management and leadership from Webster University. And she's also, on top of all the other great things that we've talked about, she's a mom of two beautiful boys and also a spouse. And without further ado, I'd like to introduce to our listeners, Miss Jazz, drumroll, Booth. How are you doing, Jazz?
I am doing great. Thank you for that very wonderful and thoughtful introduction.
Well, we are certainly delighted to have you on the program to talk to you about not only your successes and your failures and your triumphs and all the great things that you've done out there, but, you know, as we think about no excuse, you know, from your transitional phase of where you were to where you are now, and just the wealth of knowledge that you can share with our listening audience today, I think no excuse is literally the perfect topic to talk about.
I would agree. I mean, there have been many crossroads in my life when I had the opportunity to either choose pity or power. And again, it all comes down to an excuse. And for me, I personally believe that the opposite of excuse is choice.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So let's kind of jump into a little bit about Cut to the Chase here, you know. And so as we talk about, you know, no excuse, and we look at like how we watch our thoughts, how we watch our words, how we watch our actions and habits and our character for who we are as an individual. My first question to you would be, what are some of the unique traits that are required in order to establish yourself as a focused individual to be able to kind of leave the excuses on the table and really focus in on what's going to help you move your life forward?
I think the most important thing is first finding out who you are and then learning to embrace who you are authentically. There are a lot of people out there who basically settled on becoming who they think people need them to be or who they think they need to be in order to get ahead in life. And I think that's where a lot of people hurt themselves, because you're basically living a lie day in and day out. And how much harder is it to remember that lie than just being yourself? And so that is why every day I do self-reflection, and I'm always self-aware of who I am, what I'm doing, how my actions affect others. But I think that is the root to anything, is first figuring out who exactly you are, coming to terms with who you are, and living who you are authentically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, certainly thank you for sharing that, that insightfulness with us. And so I want to step back just a little bit, just to kind of get our listeners a little bit more of your history. So you served in the Army, and you're also a cancer survivor. And so what we're trying to basically understand is, did you discover that cancer was a part of what was happening in the military, or did that happen post your military career?
The cancer was actually discovered when I was 30 days shy of deploying to Iraq. So I was literally getting ready to go into a combat zone when I received my diagnosis.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry to hear that. And we know how tough that can be. And obviously just being in wartime situation, and obviously I want to mention thank you for your service. Myself being a military veteran as well, we know that those times, particularly as we're going into combat, are very difficult, not only our families, but also ourselves. And so at the moment you got the information that you were getting ready to deploy, and you also received this information of basically you were diagnosed. So did they remove you from deployment, or how did that play out as things kind of progressed forward?
Yeah. So unfortunately, I had a very rare but aggressive form of cancer. And so I had to be removed because I was obviously at that point in time unfit to deploy. Mm-hmm. And I had to be sent down to Brooke Army Medical Center, which I think is now SAMC now, to receive treatment. So, yeah, it was like basically a 48-hour turnaround between getting a diagnosis, telling my troops I can't go with them, figuring out transportation, and then, boom, I'm in San Antonio, Texas.
Wow. Wow. Quite a turn of events. And so now here you are at this moment in time in San Antonio, you're getting ready to fight this disease, and you're focused in on the fact that, okay, now I've got to put this on the forefront of my life and be able to move forward. So at any point in time, as you were going through fighting the cancer, I mean, what was your focus with regards to, let's just say, your spirituality, and then trying to stay focused on the fact that there is no excuse for you not to beat this? How did that play out in your emotional psyche?
I wasn't into spirituality at that time. And so the one force I had driving me was my son. But I was also very, very angry at that time, because I felt like I was hopeless. Mm-hmm. I felt like I had no control over my life, and my life was basically in the hands of the surgeons and the staff that was taking care of me. And I had ruled out any of the choices that I have. And regardless of what situation you're in, people don't realize you have an infinite number of choices. And so I was walking around being Oscar the Grouch. I was rude to everyone. I was short with everyone. And then I would realize, you know what? This isn't helping me heal. I still have to go to this treatment every day. This is doing nothing for me other than making me more depressed. And I said, you know what? You have a choice to go through this being a miserable person, or you can look on the bright side and focus on each day that you have and be just a little happier and kinder to the people who are helping to prolong your life. And so I took that choice, and it just completely gave me a different perspective on what I was going through. Hey, you know what? Yes, I have cancer, but there are also doctors who specialize in this. I have a chance. You know, there is, I still have another day. And when I wake up, I still have another day. Yeah, the radiation therapy sucks and it hurts, but you know what? It's temporary. So I can get through this. And you know what? And once this is all done, I have a beautiful boy who is waiting on me to, you know, to come home and give him a great big hug. And so I chose to have a better and more positive mindset.
Right.
Because that is the part that I could control.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Because so many of us, when we go through roadblocks or as we're staring up the side of a mountain, particularly of whether it's, you know, financial debt or whether it's setbacks or whether it's something that has kind of altered our course of our dreams or our ambitions, it's hard. And like you said, I mean, choices can either make or break us. And in a lot of cases, it's easier to take the path of least resistance and kind of, as you mentioned earlier, kind of fall back on self-pity. But yet that's not really the choice that is really a necessity that is needed at that moment in time in order for you to be able to move forward. And a lot of it requires taking action. And sometimes people go, well, when we're talking about taking action, you know, that does that mean I physically have to do something? Well, I can typically say that it doesn't necessarily mean you have to physically do something, but it certainly means you have to calibrate your mind to be able to think in a manner that allows for you to get beyond the negativity and start thinking about the positivity. And so that brings forth energy that you're applying towards that action. And sometimes, you know, I see where folks tend to lose sight of that because they say, well, I've got to go and I've got to move this box from A to B in order to take action. And it's not necessarily the case. It's your thoughts. Your thoughts require the same energy as it would as if you were moving something physically. And so as we move forward in your career path, you know, you were dealing with cancer and going through the remission of that. And so was it after you got out of the military that you were faced with being in a circumstance where you found yourself homeless and you found yourself kind of in a very tough spot? Kind of walk us through that, if you don't mind.
So it was basically, all of this happened while I was in the military. It was like one thing after the next. So Hurricane Katrina hit in August of 2005. I was currently living in Katrina when I got deployment orders. So I lost everything in August of 2005. Couldn't do anything about it. So again, I had a choice. Focus on material things that you know you can get back and be upset about it, or focus on the fact that you have to lead these young men and women into a combat zone. And so I'm like, you know what? That's what I'm going to do, because that is going to get me the a more of a positive result than wallowing about, oh my God, I can't believe I just lost that, you know, $500 couch. $500 couch for a lieutenant back in the day was like a big thing.
Sure, absolutely. You know?
And so I my cancer got in remission early in 2006 after all the treatment. And then basically I'm a reservist. And so I can't go back to my unit because New Orleans is still in shambles. Unit had four deployed, so I can't go join them, especially needing more complex, you know, medical treatment. Mm-hmm. And so the military basically gave me a DD-214 and said, well, now you're a veteran, go to the VA. Mm-hmm. And so within a 24-hour period, I went from being an officer with all these benefits, all the support I needed, all the guidance I needed, to being a homeless veteran who ended up on welfare and sleeping on my aunt's couch.
Wow. Wow. That's a tough one. So how many months was it after you had just received your remission and the timeline that it took to go from that to sleeping on your aunt's couch? Was that within a same year period that all of that occurred to you?
Yeah. Okay. So I got my diagnosis in August. I lost everything in August of 2005. Mm-hmm. Cancer diagnosis, September 2005. Finished up cancer treatment around February of 2006. Ended up on the couch March 2006.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So at that point, I can only imagine, I mean, even though all of this stress and burden and weight are still, you know, resonating on you, your focus and your drive to continue not to have excuses and to continue to kind of play it forward, because what happened after that just seemed to kind of catapult your career in such a phenomenal perspective. So after you were identified, you've identified yourself, like you said, as sleeping on your aunt's couch. Then you went on to become the founder of Final Salute. So kind of walk our audience through a little bit of that and share with us how that all came about.
Great. Yeah. And so while I was sleeping on my aunt's couch, every day my son would get up, he would come in, give me a hug before he went to school. And he would say, you know what, Mom, today's going to be a better day. And gave me the most brightest, beautiful smile and went on about his day. And then he'd come in, he'd greet me with that same smile. And I was realizing I was just sitting there on the couch or laying on the couch and just, oh, well, it's me. And I was like, you know what I realized? No one RSVPs to a pity party. There was no one coming to my rescue. There was no one coming to lick my wounds or stroke my hair or do any of that stuff. And I was just like, okay, so here you are at a crossroad again. Are you just going to sleep on this couch and just waste away? Are you going to get your ass up, find you a job, be your better example for your child, and move forward? And so again, I realized the power that I had a choice. And so that is what I did. I got up off the couch. I went and I found a job with the Army National Guard. It was a civilian job, but it still required me to be in uniform, which is great because I didn't think I would be able to wear a uniform anymore. Mm-hmm. And then fast forward a few months later, after getting that job, I was at a training exercise in Arkansas. And one of the instructors were like, you are a great trainer. Would you like to go up to D.C. and train at the National Guard Bureau? And I was like, great. I had never been to D.C. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's so historical. And the National Guard Bureau, that's like the Pentagon, like the National Guard's Pentagon. So I'm like, sure, let's go.
Right.
And so I went there and I then got promoted to captain. I did a deployment to a peacekeeping mission to Kosovo, and like I'm doing great. And then for everyone that knows about Chicago, you know, Oprah is a staple in the Chicago community. We mm-hmm. you know, like we act like we own her or she belongs to us. She doesn't.
Right, right.
But she was getting ready to go off to air, and so now we're like around the year 2010. Mm-hmm. And I caught one of her last episodes about homelessness and women veterans. And I was like, wait, what? Because I had cut that portion of my life off mentally and mm-hmm. and put it in a filing cabinet as, you know, closed case.
Sure.
And so to see that this was still happening and the problem was getting bigger, I was like, wow, you know, there certainly has to be more that's being done. So I went and started to do some simple research on the internet, and I found that nothing was being done. And then I said, you know what, someone needs to do something about that. And that is, again, when that choice kicked in.
Right.
It said, okay, well, why can't you do something about that? Then here came the excuses. I don't have no money. I don't know how to run a nonprofit. Nobody knows me. I'm not a celebrity. And then my mind was just like, okay, are you going to get to the point where you say something that says that you don't have the ability to learn how to do these things? And I was like, touche, mind, touche. And so I reverted back to the leadership skills that I learned in the military. And I was a human resources officer. So I knew about structure. I knew about organizations, how to form them, hierarchy. I also knew about, you know, the JAG would always say, hey, make sure whatever you're doing is legal, ethical, and moral. And I was like, okay, well, 501c3, what do I have to do that? And so I learned you had to file this paperwork. I did a lot of professional self-development on it. And I said, okay, Jazz, this is your next mission. And here we are 10 years and $4 million later.
Yeah. Well, certainly, you know, our heart and our praises definitely go out to all of the great things that you've done with Final Salute and to all of the people that you've helped and initiating this program. It is quite, quite commendable to have that type of outreach and that type of visionary, you know, means to be able to pull something from the grassroots and turn it into something that is so life touching. And like I said, again, you know, my heart goes out to what you've done. I just find it to be outstanding and highly commendable of who you are as not only a human being, but as a mom, as a leader, and someone that really takes action, you know. And as you said earlier, you know, live by no excuse. And so it's rather interesting, you know, like you were talking earlier with regards to Oprah's getting ready to go off the air, because that was, I think from what I read, that was kind of your first segue to kind of, you know, step into, let's just call it the spotlight with regards to, you know, being a part of this Oprah Winfrey Standing Ovation recipient award. And then from there, I think it just, you know, the dominoes kind of fell into play for you, because you went on for the CNN, People's Magazine, and then all of the other great things followed suit after that. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. And so the funny thing about the Oprah thing is that I was told that there would be 10 women from the Washington, D.C. area as she was doing this tour that would be honored for their philanthropic efforts in the Washington, D.C. area. And I was one of 10. Mm-hmm. And I would go have VIP seating and would just have really good seats to this event. And so I went there. And obviously, I was the honoree from Washington, D.C. And I was just kind of floored, because I think that was the first time the universe spoke to me, because I never wrote to Oprah and said, hey, Oprah, look what I did. I saw your segment and then I built the house or I did whatever. You know, it happened organically. And then from there, the universe just kept sending me messages that I was moving in the right direction. And so it was, you know, to me, everything was coming full circle, because I remember having that conversation about what I couldn't do and what I didn't have the tools to do. And I had all of that, you know, and I think for a lot of us, excuses can also be a result of fear. You know, what if I fail? And, you know, we've heard the other side to that. Oh, darling, but what if you fly?
Right.
You know, and so I would definitely say that, you know, regardless of not being a celebrity, not having a lot of money and the other things that people said that I needed and the things that I said that I needed, I knew who I was. I knew what my purpose was, and I knew what I needed to get that purpose done. So I didn't have any excuses. All I needed was a solid plan, which I executed.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm going to have to come clean with you while we're on the air. For me, when I looked at your IG page and for your messaging, for your branding, for some of the videos that I saw out there, for your website, and literally everything else that was kind of stacking the deck for who Jazz Booth really is. At first glance for me, I thought you were a major celebrity. I mean, I was like, I don't know if I reach out to her to be on my podcast, she may go, oh, no, she may flick me off like a bug, or, you know, she may come back and say, talk to my agent, you know. And so I was a little bit nervous, and probably my audience is going, come on, Greg, you're never really nervous. But, you know, let's face it, you know, to have empowered minority women do some of the great things and be acknowledged and be recognized organically without going out of their way, without being false, without having these pretenses. And like you said, just doing it in a way where, you know, it comes across in a very natural and an attenuative way. Those are all the things that I gravitate towards, because to me, that is the most significant way to really cut to the chase and kind of understand who an individual really is, you know, and what they're all about. Because sometimes these things, they don't really bubble to the surface, you know, when you hit that star power. They don't bubble to the surface in those articles that you read. Sometimes you got to go find them. You got to go dig a little bit. And we were glad to receive your commitment, because this has been such an inspiring notional story for anybody that is listening, sitting on the couch right now, saying to themselves, well, I'll just wait until tomorrow. No, actually, start today. You know, put your mind to it. Start today. Get out your notepad or your sticky pad or whatever. Start today. There should be no excuse. And so, Jazz, this has been awesome. And what I'd like to say at this point in time, since we're almost out of time, and I've taken up a few more minutes than I probably should have, are there any key points or takeaways that you would like to leave with our audience? Because for me, you've gone from leading, you know, several 100-person team company on deployments, to battling with cancer, to being an advocate, to now being a public figure and speaking, someone that has dedicated 17 years to our nation, winning awards, you know, traveling, being a mom, being a wife. I mean, at this point, every stepping block for you has been something that has provided you with a little bit of adversity and a little bit of challenge, but you've overcome that. And so what would be some of the points that you would like to leave with our listeners?
What I always say to people, and especially people who are looking to go into philanthropy or to start something to try to help people, or when they see a void, is don't compare yourself to other people. I always tell people, you don't need a cape to be someone's hero. Mm-hmm. You know, you just need the passion, the purpose, and the contingency to follow through. Also, be authentic. Mm-hmm. I don't care who you are. There's somebody who's not going to like you, no matter how charming, how cute, how educated, how prominent you are. Mm-hmm. But as long as you like you and you're okay with you, that's what matters. And then the people who do vibe with you will vibe with you. You know, don't live your life trying to be a people pleaser. Believe me, it will never work in your favor, because you are not being authentic. And authenticity and being true to yourself are probably the best tools you have. But I would say the most powerful tool you have in your toolkit, regardless of who you are, is your voice.
Right.
And always remember that. And just also remember that when people talk about voices, everything, your voice is your power. It resonates from the inside of you. Everything that is you is your voice. So be very careful about how you use it, the messages that you put out, because your voice defines you. People talk about actions, but I'm telling you, people will always remember. They say, well, people remember how you made them feel. Mm-hmm. People remember what you said to them. And then you can get feelings from words. So always, it's not always just actions. I will tell you, and as a speaker and as a person who's out there, people will always remember what you said.
Yeah. Well, we certainly are delighted that you've left us with those key points. And so if someone wanted to reach out to you for a motivational speaking engagement or any type of speaking engagement, Would it be best suited for them to reach out to you via your website, or how would they go about doing that?
I always tell people to first, I always recommend that people first go to my website, jazzbooth.com, because that's my once over the world. You can always, of course, email me at jazzboothspeaks@gmail.com, but I always send people to my website so you can find out more about me. You can see me in action, but you can also see what I stand for, because that's what's important to me. So it's like, you need to decide if this is the person that you want on your stage, because this is what you're going to get. But I also just want people to understand, because, you know, and even some people who may not want to book me, maybe they just want to go there for inspiration and to see my story. And maybe that might propel them to do something or change their trajectory. But jazzbooth.com is my website, and my email address is jazzboothspeaks@gmail.com.
Thank you very much. We certainly appreciate that. And for our listeners, please, by all means, get out there and check her out. She is she's doing great things. She's empowering. She's providing a notion for all of us to not to have an excuse. And based on what we've heard today, you know, at every juncture of transition in her life, she was able to overcome that and overcome that in so many different ways of thought and in leadership and training and skills and education and just having the sure willingness and ability to take the action. And so I have one final quote that I'd like to leave us with before we wrap up. And it basically says, save the excuses. It's not about having time. It's about making time. If it matters, you will make the time. So Jazz, welcome to the Cut to the Chase family. I'm giving you a big air hug right now. This has been a great opportunity for me to finally get to spend a few moments with you and get to know you a little bit better. And this has been a blessing to basically have you on our show. And at this point in time, we're going to wrap up. And so to our listeners and Jazz, Ms. Booth, thank you very much. This has been episode 89 entitled No Excuse. I'm your host, Gregory Proctor, and bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to Cut to the Chase. Stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and LinkedIn at Cut to the Chase. You'll also find even more great content on our website at www.k2tcpodcast.com. Thank you, and catch you on the next episode.